Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
From Andrew. Sheehan, the schedule they faced, you talked about it all year long. That was the big difference. You guys, please stop. The other teams in the division face essentially the same schedule. I mean, come on. We've talked about this a million times. 14 of the 17 games are exactly the same. Philadelphia faced Mahomes, Brady, Herbert, they didn't face Russell Wilson. They didn't get Russell Wilson last year. You got Dallas, who faced Brady, Herbert. Hold on, the schedule just disappeared for a second. Brady, Herbert in their first two games. Kirk. Yeah, I said it. Kirk. Matt Ryan, Mahomes, Carr, Murray. And then who did I mention? Philadelphia, the Giants got, let's see what their difference in games were, the three games difference from Washington last year. They had Ryan. They had Matt Stafford. Washington didn't have to play. Mahomes, Carr, Brady, Herbert. They had, I mean, it's 14 out of the 17 games are the same. Washington's other three last year that were different, they did have to face Josh Allen, you know, out of the AFC East. So they ended up with the toughest AFC East quarterback. But the entire division played the AFC West last year. They did have to play Green Bay because they didn't have the NFC North as an additional game. And Russell Wilson was the third. So, yeah, okay. The three different games were Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and Josh Allen. So, overall, Washington did face a tougher gauntlet of quarterbacks. But 14 of the 17 games were the same. So they played the entire AFC West, all three of the other division teams did. There's a difference there. Upon further review, I'll concede that point because Washington's three game difference, Rodgers, Allen, and Wilson last year. Now they caught Wilson injured, coming back off of injury. Wilson was terrible in that game. And he had been terrible leading up to that game. So they didn't get Russell Wilson at his best until that final drive of the game. Wilson, remember, came back, many people thought, way too early last year. And he had a couple of horrendous games coming into that Washington Monday night game. Remember, that first game back was at Lambeau against the Packers where they were shut out. And he was awful in that game. And he was awful against Washington in that game until that very final drive. All right. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Our Valor Home listener lines are open. Simple question. Am I nuts to say that going into the 2022 season, Washington's defense might be the worst in the division? And again, the reason for this conversation was a year ago, we were so overly sure and convinced that it was the best defense in the division. This year, offensively, Washington could be really dynamic compared to the other teams. I think skill position-wise, taking the quarterback out of the equation, they might have the best skill position group outside of Philadelphia in the division with Amari Cooper and Cedric Wilson gone in Dallas. And they're certainly better than the Giants offensively. And I guess many of you would say, well, they've also got the second best quarterback in the division. We'll see. Keith in Clinton. Keith, go ahead. Am I crazy to say that Washington's defense, at least going in, is the worst defense in the division? Go ahead.
Going in, we are the worst defense in the division. You are not crazy about saying that. Now, I'm going to say something because I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but let me say, I'm going to put it like this. When you have a very, very close friend who you literally hang with on the inside, and they're telling you it's the defensive coaching. But you all keep saying we have a great defensive coach and all this other stuff. And I agree with my friend, but he's there. He's playing. And so he's telling me last year the defense is not going to be.
How do you – you don't know me, do you?
I'm saying the defense is not going to be as good. He's saying the defense is not going to be as good because of the secondary and how the secondary is being coached. Remember this one thing. Think back, Kevin. When we started the season out last year, how were the defensive backs playing? They weren't looking back at the ball. They were running, looking eye to eye with the receiver, hoping, and then until they finally changed that. But and then another thing, how many times have we been losing the game in the first half and we made defensive adjustments and it paid off in the second half? And then the third thing, how many games did we lose that we got out-coached? So, no, you're not, and I'm talking about defensive-wise against offensive coordinators. We've gotten out-coached too many games, and he's telling me this stuff, and I'm like, he's there, he knows. But I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble, so nobody's going to know what I'm talking about. But trust me, I'm telling you the honest truth.
Oh, I
so
thought you were saying you, Kevin, have somebody very close.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
because I was going to say, how do you know who I know? My fault.
No. Can
I just tell you something, though? And I don't know anything about what you're referring to. I can tell you this definitively, that certainly in 2020, at the beginning of the season, but not as much towards the end of the season, there was definitely an issue with Sam Mills, the defensive line coach. And by the way, just overall, the way the D-line was being asked to play a more gap sound system, which is what they did in Carolina. Yep. And there were some issues with that. But I can tell you this. I believe that the defensive players actually do like and believe in Jack Del Rio. I think you're wrong if that's who you're referring to.
Okay, watch again this year. Watch how slow we are as far as making.
Well, what does he have to work with at this point? I mean, you got John Allen, you've got Chase, and you got Sweat and Duron. They don't have a linebacker on the team that you really feel confident in, and the secondary is very average on paper. I mean, they don't have a great corner. They have a decent corner in Fuller. They have a talented corner in Jackson. We all love Cam Curl, and he's getting better. Let's not hope that Percy Butler has to be the answer next year for them to be great defensively. And they're not done. I think they'll add somebody here. Thanks for the call, Keith. I appreciate it. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Our Valor Home listener lines are open. We've got a line or two open. Question simply put, am I nuts to say that Washington's defense heading into 2022 is the worst in the division? Bobby in North Carolina, go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. Good morning. You're probably not far off. I've told you the other day, it comes down to 99. He plays good. Our defense will be a whole lot better. But, Kevin, I've got major concerns about our linebacker position. I'm really concerned. I don't think we have the guys playing linebacker at all. Hopefully, Jamin comes back and has a good year on the outside. And Cole Holcomb is a great story. Love the kid. Walk on at Carolina and made our team and has played good. But we got concerns at linebacker, Kevin. And I think it's going to, come out. And I told you the other day, too, I know you say that you like Del Rio. I'm not sold on his scheme, Kevin. I told you we got to be more aggressive. and I don't think he's aggressive enough, okay? We got to send more blitz packages and things like that. Well, he's relying on that front four to get home, and we just haven't been able to get home like we can get home. But you're not probably far off. I mean, we'll go as far as our defense carries us this year. It is an offensive league. I think we've got better offensively, got more skilled people. I think Carson's going to be an upgrade. But we got to be able to get off the field. I remember last year some of them early games. I mean, it was terrible. Pass defense, you know, I was at most of those early games on the road and at home. We were horrible in our pass defense. We were at a record pace before they figured a couple of things out late in the year. But definitely the defense has potential probably to not be as good as some people think that we might be good.
That opener against the Chargers last year, they gave up on third down, if you recall, 14 of 19 was the final number, but they took a knee at the end on a third down. So it was really 14 of 18 on third down. I remember saying the Monday, I don't know that I can remember 18 third down attempts in a game for starters, and secondly, hitting on 14 out of 18 on third down. And how many of those were third and longs where people just were open? And this is what, and remember, they not only were open, and yeah, the ball with Herbert was coming out quickly, but Washington wasn't getting home. Now, you mentioned something, and I don't have the data on this in front of me, but Brendan, maybe you either remember it or can access it. In 2020, I thought they did a much better job in the second half of that season in generating more extra man pressures against, by the way, worse quarterbacks, which also helped. And I think Jack got very aggressive. You know, last year, I know that their five-man or their extra man pressures will look inflated a little bit because they played a lot of five-man defensive fronts, remember. So that actually maybe statistically gets counted as an extra man pressure, even though it's five down linemen that they were playing. They weren't coming with traditional blitz pressure. But where was Washington last year in overall blitz pressure, Brendan? Do you know?
I'm trying to look it up, but I can't
find
it right now.
My feeling is he got more aggressive as the year went on, as was the case in 2020. Let's go to Billy. Billy, am I nuts to say that Washington's got the worst defense in the NFC East heading into 2022?
Kevin, I've got a take for you, a hot take. I've got a nickname for the defense coming into 2022.
Your nicknames usually suck, but go ahead.
We all respect the police, the fire departments, the first responders. I believe we should call this defense the last responders. We have the biggest prima donna and what's going to be probably the second biggest bust in the history of the NFL at defensive line, and Chase Young. That draft will go down in history, likely, as probably the second or worst draft in the history of the NFL. We're on our eighth quarterback in three seasons. They have no talent. They play with no urgency on defense. They don't rally to the football. They're just a terrible defensive team. They're a terrible offensive team. And it's going to be a horrible season. The Commanders kickoff season, they're going to start off 0-2 against Jacksonville and Detroit. And we're going straight to the basement.
You know, per usual, thanks, Billy, for the great take and the horrible nickname. The 2020 draft, there's zero chance that draft will go down as the worst draft in NFL history. Certainly, it's nowhere near the worst draft in Washington history. Do you know how many early round, first round picks this team has blown over the years? And by the way, many of them not even part of this particular Dan Snyder era. Like, when you go back to post-91, all right, the last time, the last great season here, Desmond Howard, bust. Tom Carter in 93, bust. Heath Shuler in 94, bust. Michael Westbrook in 95, pretty much a bust. One of the all-time worst first-round picks, trading into the first round to pick Andre Johnson, the tackle from Penn State. I don't think he ever played a bust. 97 was Kennard Lang. He did have a career. And then you finally started to hit on some guys. By the way, with the beginning, actually, the Champ Bailey draft was before Snyder had taken over. But Champ Bailey, Hall of Famer, LeVar Arrington, Chris Samuels, Rod Gardner, 50-50, and then Patrick Ramsey, and then, you know, whatever. But I don't think Chase Young will be a bust. I don't. I think he's too talented, and I think he is, all accounts, too hard of a worker. You know, this is not, you know, the kind of issue that maybe we've had in previous years. May he have been a little bit immature last year and a little bit tougher to coach than maybe they would have liked. I don't think he was the only one. Too much talent. But that draft also produced Antonio Gibson, Cameron Curl. We don't know what we'll get from Sadiq Charles. By the way, I did see something. This is another thing my son sent me, that Antonio Gandy-Golden is being shifted to tight end for the upcoming offseason in training camp. So, you know, I don't know if that's because that's the only chance he has to make the team, which would make sense to me, or if it's also because they're desperate for more tight end help right now because Logan Thomas is nowhere near ready. I really am excited about Logan Thomas as a player, but this injury could be a serious one and could prevent him actually from being ready for the regular season. All right. Those of you on hold, stay there. I will take your calls when we come back. We do have a line open at 301-230-0980. Am I crazy when I've said over the last couple of days that Washington's defense this year might be the worst in the NFC East heading into 2022? It may not end up that way. They may end up having Cole Holcomb develop into a dominant middle linebacker. By the way, he is smart. He can run. He can play. Maybe Jamin Davis has a breakout year and becomes a dominant playmaking player on defense. Maybe Percy Butler is exactly what they needed to fill the Landon Collins Buffalo nickel role. Maybe Daron Payne becomes more consistent. Chase Young and Montez Sweat pick up where they left off in 2020, and it turns into a dominant defense. They've got some players on defense. It's not like they're void. Look, I'm comparing them to three teams in the division, two in particular, that have a lot of talent on defense as well. That's all. It's not the worst defense in the NFL. I'm specifically referring to the division. Dallas and Philadelphia's defenses are better on paper than Washington's. The Giants are debatable. I will certainly concede that point. But Washington is right there right now going in as the third or worst defense in the NFC East. Do you think I'm nuts? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
From Ivan on Twitter, points allowed, yards per offensive play, passing team, passing touchdowns, yards after catch, interceptions, net yards, first down passing, Commanders, well, the Washington football team, last in all of those last year. Look, a lot of these numbers that we've been talking about, including, you know, the Football Outsiders DVOA metric, these are not predictive of 2022. Just look at the offseason moves made, though. Philadelphia has strengthened themselves defensively. Washington lost defensively. I think in many ways the Giants have upgraded defensively just with, look, they were dysfunctional in their coaching situation the last couple of years. Joe Judge was an absolute disaster. But I want to make clear, like, I think the defense has potential. I think the offense has a lot of potential. I think the team in general has some potential. Like, I could see this season going a lot of different ways. I don't see it going 12, 13 wins, and I don't see it going 3 or 4 wins. But I do see a team that, you know, stay healthy, catch people at the right time, and it could be an 8, 9, 10 win wild card team, division contending team. Again, comes down to Wentz in the defense. And the defense this year is much different in perception than it was last year. That's kind of the overarching theme here. But beyond that, when you start to compare the defense to the other defenses in the division, it doesn't look that great this year. They're going to play the games anyway. They're going to go ahead and play them, and they're not played on paper. Yes, I understand that. But they're going to need Chase Young, John Allen, Daron Payne, Montez Sweat, and then a couple of linebackers and a couple of DBs to come up big, and Jack Del Rio to figure it out as well. Another question, by the way, for you at 301-230-0980. I'm just curious, which coordinator do you trust more right now, Scott Turner or Jack Del Rio? Because one of the callers we had in the last segment said, you know, this is all a coaching situation. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I do, and I've said this going back to 2020, I do like Scott Turner. I like his creativity. I like what he's been able to do without really a quarterback, without, you know, health at the skill position players. I think this is a big year for him. By the way, a big opportunity for him. Scott Turner, with that last name, with who his father is, if Washington ended up with Carson Wentz this year, being one of those teams that was putting up 26, 27 points a game and was up in the top 10 offensively in a lot of the key numbers, Scott Turner could quickly ascend to a head coaching candidate. Del Rio's days as a head coach are over. I actually really like Scott Turner, and I believe in Scott Turner, but I don't think Jack Del Rio sucks like many of you do. Jerome's been on hold. Jerome, go ahead.
Thank you for taking the call. I love your show. It takes me to work every day. I can talk about what my skins. My thought process is a couple of things. I think yes, we have a defense that is not reaching its potential, but I believe it's more of a coaching issue. With Del Rio, he's slow to transition. He has an older mindset, and he's demanding that players follow only his lead instead of it being a joint understanding. They respect or they consider their coaching to be far superior to positional talent or positional IQ. So they're telling players, do only what I tell you, do nothing else, and if it doesn't work, it's on us. But they're not allowing dynamic players to be dynamic, to do things that they can succeed at. And I have a problem with it. One other quick issue is that they like projects. You can't put a project in key critical positions on the field and wait for them to evolve or take a brand new
person. Well, who's the project? Are you just referring to Jamin Davis?
Cole Holcomb. They keep saying he's developing. He's a young player. They say he's developing. He's getting better.
Holcomb's entering his fourth season.
Well, they still say he's developing. So that sounds like a project.
They say he's getting better. They like cheap discount stuff, and they believe their coaching is so great that they will make that person into something better instead of taking the aggressive players like N'Kobe Dean. Players that show potential, they want the cheap player. They want the low-budget player that they can fix. We're done with that. Great teams don't consistently do that in certain positions. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks. You know, you just brought back to my attention a bit of a position that I had last year that I really felt strongly about, and that was during that stretch where Chase Young and Montez Sweat and the defensive line was they were being called out for not adhering to the scheme. You know, it was a week in and week out thing. You know, maturity, not adhering to the scheme, not playing their responsibilities. Remember that in the first half of the season, week in and week out, whether it was Del Rio, but more often than not, it was the head coach. And I thought about it as it related to Young in particular, and maybe even Daron Payne and Montez Sweat to a lesser degree. There are certain players like Chase Young where, you know, it's not that hard. Tell him to get to the quarterback, okay? Your scheme doesn't matter as much as you've got perhaps the most gifted player on the field. Tell him to go get the ball. Tell him to go get the quarterback. You know, tell him not to have to play gap sound football and take on blockers. Now, I know that there were games like that Buffalo game got embarrassing there for a while with him taking, and they specifically pointed it out, him taking those wide turns, getting out of gap, not getting out of that gap integrity, giving up big holes for not only running backs, but for Josh Allen to scramble through in that particular game. That was an embarrassing game for the defense, an embarrassing game really overall for the team. And, you know, there has to be a level of some discipline when it comes to the scheme. But I do think Jerome has a point. I do think that this is not the coaching staff where, you know, the adhering to the scheme can be adjusted to a guy with unbelievable talent. To me, you know, Chase Young isn't a play the scheme, adhere to the scheme kind of player. And sometimes you've got to coach around a talent like that. We'll see what happens this year. I'm not taking him off the hook at all for what his level of responsibility was in his, let's just call it average play, disappointing play in the first half of the season before he got injured. Robert in Annapolis. Robert, go ahead.
Good morning. They appear on paper to have less talent than the other three teams, but that doesn't mean they're going to be the worst defense
no,
in the
doesn't.
Division. You know, the 2000 Ravens were one of the best defenses ever. They only had one superstar on that defense, and Ray Lewis. So often it comes to how well they're coached. Lewis was, forgetting his first name now, Marvin Lewis was obviously a very good defensive coordinator. So it's obviously a question of coaching, but also how well the players play together. So, you know, it is a great unknown how they're going to mesh. You know, a lot of fans have bailed too early on Young and even Jamin Davis.
I don't think that's true. I think you hear.
We hear it on the radio. I hear it on the radio. Is all I'm saying.
You hear it from people like Billy and Chantilly. I mean, I don't, or Sabah. Most reasonable Sabah fans are not bailing on Chase Young.
Well,
they're not.
They've gotten discouraged on him too early. Now he does have to come back from this knee injury. But the point is, they do have some talent, but I think I do have concerns with Del Rio. You said about the assistants. I think Turner, I would have more faith in Turner. I am curious how he's going to run the offense. Was he more of a ball possession, dink and dunk guy? With Wentz, they have to be a downfield offense.
He never was a coordinator until he got here. He was a coordinator for four games at the end of the 2019 season after Rivera got hired, and then he got elevated to coordinator. His first full-time gig as a coordinator was 2020.
Okay, but I'm thinking of his offensive philosophy. You know, some of them are downfield.
This is where I. This is what I like about Scott Turner. I think Scott Turner takes each game plan each week and adapts it to the team that they're playing. Now, he hasn't had a lot to work with at quarterback. We can all agree on that since he's gotten
Well, if the offense is really good, that's going to improve the defense, right?
By the way, real quickly, Ray Lewis was the only great player on the 2000 Ravens defense. I know Ed Reed wasn't on that team, but there were other really good players defensively on that team.
They had some Pro Bowlers and all, maybe an All Pro or two because of the effectiveness for that period of run. But he's the only guy that made the Hall of Fame off of that team.
Yeah. But who else was on that defense, real quickly? Was Rod Woodson on that team?
Yes, he was. I'm sorry, you corrected me. Right, he was not in his prime, but he was very good. But you know what I'm saying is, you don't look like the Steelers back in the 70s.
Course.
They were
all Hall of Famers. You know? Yeah,
right. But so just get these guys to work together and get well coached. You should be okay.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it. Let's go to Frank. Frank is calling in from the Eastern Shore. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, we've had great defensive ends that were young. Chase Young kind of takes me to Dexter Manley back a little bit. But, I mean, everything that I've watched, it's been isolation. They isolate one particular, defender that we've had and done that. And, that's offensive scheme. But to me, if you go back to the other one, Richie Pettibone was great at adjusting. We could have trouble in the first half. He'd come back. Second half, we'd make adjustments. What I would like to see is go to mortar to a man. Go man up with people. Let's find out what we got, who we got, what their talents. If you don't have the talent, maybe you have to play more zone. I understand that. But, what we're seeing here is, Dallas hung 50-some points on us, man. I don't ever remember that happening. And that should never happen. And I don't know, if it's scheme, it's players, maybe a mixture of both. But, I think it's back to get into basics. I mean, I go back and watch on YouTube a lot of weekends, a lot of those games, man. At least people were there where they were supposed to be. They might have missed a tackle here and there, but at least it looked like our defense knew, the players were where they were supposed to be on whatever play it was. And I'll let you get
there. No, thanks for the call. And I look, my preference is to watch an overly aggressive defense. Like, if you're going to get picked apart, if you're going to get dinked and dunked down the field, it can be painful to watch. I think, the opponents that they faced last year dictated a lot of what they ended up running. They not only played great quarterbacks, but they played offenses with great skill position players, receivers with great one-on-one ability. It was very difficult for Washington defensively to go man up with, players like Davante Adams and, Cooper and Lamb. And, we could go through the list of them, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, all of them. I think Del Rio is and Ron Rivera are very much sort of guys that have lived with a certain type of scheme. Rivera's defenses have always been more zone. But I've said this before. This is really important. Zone defense doesn't have to be non-aggressive. There are a lot of teams that will blitz and S-load out of zone coverage. And there are a lot of quarterbacks that hate throwing against zone coverage. So it all depends on the opponent. I would like to see, especially when they're not getting pass rush with that front four, which they should, and that will be a key again this year. Can they get pressure with four rather than requiring extra man pressure, which I think really generated some of their results at the end of 2020 in particular. Ultimately, that's the key. If you can stop the run and then you can get pressure with four, you got a really good chance of getting off the field and getting the ball back to your offense. All right. When we come back, we're going to take a big turn here in the road. The temperatures over the weekend are going to be record-setting for the dates and for the time of year. Our good friend Doug Kammer from Channel 4 will join us next. We'll find out what he thinks about Washington's defense next year, too. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
If you have a bunch of weather apps on your phone, like I do, you've been getting all of these special statements here over the last 24 hours about the heat wave that's coming this weekend. Our friend Doug Kammerer, Channel 4's lead meteorologist and weather forecaster, joins us on the show right now, at Doug Kammerer on Twitter. By the way, before we get to this weekend, I saw that you tweeted out, and I had no idea, so I went and looked at the various forecasts for out west. I mean, it would be kind of cool to live in Denver, wouldn't it? Like, yeah. 90 yesterday and snow the next few days in the middle of May. I mean, is there a place in the country, like at least in the continental 48, that has the crazier weather pattern than the Rocky Mountain cities have?
I'll tell you what, I mean, I lived out there. That's where I went to college. I loved it out there. I mean, 3 out of the 4 years that I was there, we had snow the second week of September. I mean, I've had snow. I was a freshman in high school. We had 8 inches of snow on Halloween night. It was like the coolest Halloween ever with 8 inches of snow. And, of course, we had school the next day because they're used to snow out there. You know, we get 8 inches here. We're out of school for 2 weeks. So, definitely a little bit different. But, yeah, I saw that storm coming, and I'm looking at it going 90 degrees. The biggest one that they've had, I think they had something like 98 2 days beforehand, and then, 6 inches of snow 2 days later. I mean, really amazing the kind of weather they get out there.
Yeah, explain to people that don't understand why, on that lee side of the Rocky Mountains, the weather is so incredibly changeable.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about it, I mean, you're sitting with Denver, it's a mile-high city for a reason. I mean, they're sitting at 5,000 feet, and just down to the south of Denver, between Denver and Colorado Springs, you've got this plateau called Monument Hill, and Monument Hill is over 7,000 feet. So if you're driving from Denver down to the south through a city called Castle Rock, that's where I grew up. I say grew up. I was there for a couple of years, but that's 6,200 feet. And you keep going down to the south, you get to 7,200, and you get this upsloping condition and they're expecting 8 to 12 inches of snow. And as you just said, I mean, you know, high temperatures yesterday were close to 90 degrees, and now they're talking 8 to 12 inches of snow. It's really phenomenal. I've seen it go from 70 degrees to snow within a matter of an hour or two. It's for a weatherman, it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And in many ways, like, you know, you and I have talked about this before. I don't think people understand how difficult an area we live in for
right.
forecasting. And actually, yeah. what's going on in Denver is a lot easier to predict, right?
Well, it depends on where you are. I mean, that upslope is so tough to predict where it starts, where it ends. I'll never forget, I'm in college in Greeley, Colorado, which is just 60 miles north and east of Denver, and I'm walking to school, and it was a chilly day, but it wasn't all that bad. I'm walking to school, and I see this truck go by, and we had no snow in Greeley, and this truck goes by, and it's got about a foot of snow on top of it. I'm like, what the heck happened? And that upslope came right through Denver. Denver got pummeled over a foot of snow, and Greeley, where I was, had almost nothing. So, you know, it's still a tough forecast. You're still taking a look at the temperatures and where they're going to be. And you take a look at a system like this. We've had similar systems this year where it's been extremely warm out ahead of it. And right. then here comes the system coming through here. And does the snow actually stick to the ground? How much of a loss are you going to get because of melting factor? So they're looking at that today as well.
We'll get to the heat of this weekend in a moment, but per usual mm-hmm. with Doug, I just end up going in different directions. And, you know, in terms of like areas in the country that are hard to forecast, you just sort of explained the trickiness of elevation levels out in,
yeah.
you know, the Rocky Mountain areas. And we know that, you know, we're an hour and a half to mountains, and we're 2 hours from a big ocean, and that creates incredible challenges, yep. especially with winter forecasting here. But I'm wondering if lake effect snow in upstate New York and places in Pennsylvania is actually the hardest, because you could literally have, right, a foot of snow in one location yep. and an eighth of a mile away, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, same part of town. I mean, your neighbors, you know, down the street might have less snow than you. I mean, you get these lake effect snow bands that come in. It's all dependent on the wind direction. And if that wind direction stays constant overnight, you're talking about the potential for, you know, 1 to 2 feet of snow in some areas. I mean, South Buffalo will pick up 2 feet of snow, where downtown Buffalo will not have anything at all. It really is fascinating. I mean, you can be under one of those lake effect snow bands for, you know, hours and hours and hours, and that band shifts south and, you know, north, and it's really incredible to watch that thing on radar to see who's getting the snow and who's not. So, yeah, I mean, you know, what do you do as a meteorologist? You know, a good buddy of mine's a meteorologist up there, and all you can say is we're going to have lake effect snow. We're going to have lake effect snow bands. If you get under one of those bands, heads up, your day is going to be a lot different than somebody else's.
That's wild. You know, the whole lake effect thing, for those that don't know what we're talking about, it's when cold air comes over warm, unfrozen Great Lakes like Lake Erie, and it just dumps snow on the east side of those lakes. And it actually dumps snow all the way down the Appalachian Mountains, including in western yeah. Maryland, out in Garrett County, that gets a ton of lake effect snow. Some of those lake effect events, Doug, I can remember like looking at the forecast and just saying, I'm heading out to Deep Creek for the weekend just to enjoy it. And, you know, 2 hours away from here, Deep Creek, you know, Maryland, Oakland, Maryland, Garrett yep. County, they average 120 inches of snow a winter, 2.5 hours yep. away.
And that's what's amazing. That's all upslope. You know, that's all yep. upslope. So that's your lake effect snow. That's your lake effect moisture coming across and going up the mountains. And the mountains actually wring out the moisture. The incredible thing about that, you look at a county called Pendleton County in West Virginia. It's just south of Garrett County. So Garrett County is kind of included in this. But yeah. Pendleton County, by the National Weather Service, is actually split up into halves. The western half is on the western slope of the mountains, the upslope area. They get over 100 inches a year. The eastern side of the same county gets less than 30 inches a year because they're on the downslope side. So you look at an area just like that, within a few miles, it's 100 inches to 30 inches average in the winter.
Is Snowshoe that area? Like, I know their elevation yeah, yep. is like the highest, you know, in our, you know,
yeah.
radius of like 4 hours or whatever. I mean, it's like close to 5,000 feet, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's very close to 5,000 feet, and Snowshoe is built where it is. I love this story. When I was out there skiing one time, I was told the story about how Snowshoe was developed. There was a guy in Alabama who loved to go skiing, and he would always go from Alabama up to the Northeast, and he's going to Vermont and New Hampshire, and every time he would fly over and he would see this one area down below the plain of snow in towards West Virginia. He's like, where is that? And he finally figured it out, and he built Snowshoe, West Virginia. So that's why Snowshoe is where it is, because of the height of those mountains right there and because they get over 120 inches a year, like you said.
Wow. I've never heard that story. We're talking to Doug Kammer from Channel 4. So if anybody's been paying attention, we're going to be really hot this weekend. A, talk about how hot. B, mm-hmm. talk about why. And C, will it be record or historic?
Yeah, I think it'll be definitely record-breaking, definitely historic. I mean, we're talking about a heat wave making its way in here in the month of May. Now, that being said, our average 90-degree day is on May 18th. So we're not too far behind that. I mean, tomorrow's
for the first 90-degree day of the year, you mean?
For the first 90, yeah, yep. For the first okay. 90. Our average first 90 is May 18th. So we're right on par for that. But we're talking about temperatures today that should reach 91, 92, 93 degrees. And as you make your way into the day tomorrow, I've got a high temperature of 96. That would be a record high temperature. I mean, the record high is for tomorrow is 95. I think we beat that. I think we get to 96 degrees. Dulles Airport, the record there, I think, is only 92. So if we get to 95, 96 at Dulles, I mean, that's pretty much shattering a record. When you're breaking a record by 3 or 4 degrees, that's shattering a record. So I think we're going to have that during the day tomorrow. So this is some real extreme heat, and it's real extreme. You're getting those alerts. You know, I saw those statements coming down from the National Weather Service. You're getting those. You're not going to get those in August and September. Or July and August. You're going to get those now because this is the first time we're dealing with heat this season. It's just like the first cold snap. You know, we got to get ourselves acclimated for it. We got to get ready for it. And it really is something to get ready for. I mean, you really got to think about what you're going to do on Saturday. I think about my kids and all the games. My daughter's got, I believe, 2 soccer games and a lacrosse practice. And my son's got a football game. So it's like, you know, you really got to make sure you take precautions with kind of that.
Your son has a football game?
Little flag football, baby.
Oh, flag football.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What about the associated humidity? I mean, we know how mm-hmm. oppressive it can be here in July and August. Will there be that kind of humidity associated with the heat?
No, I don't think so. I mean, today we're not going to deal with all that much in the way of humidity. As we move on, you'll notice more this afternoon and evening, and you're definitely going to notice it tomorrow, but I think the heat index may top out. If we get to 96, maybe the heat index tops out at 97, 98, maybe 99. Some of the normal areas where dew points are a little bit higher, areas that are closer to water, like areas like Woodbridge, you might pop a 100 degrees in those areas. But this is not heat advisory level. Heat advisory comes in at 105 degrees for the heat index, and we won't quite get there.
We're talking to Doug Kammer. It's going to be hot this weekend, and as he mentioned, it's the first time this year. So, you know, take precautions and understand that because you're not acclimated to it. But so what sort of indication, if any, is this mm-hmm. in terms of the summer that we're going to have?
I love that question, and almost none. I mean, you think about it, and you go, oh, my gosh, if we're that hot now, where are we going to be? I've just finished my summer forecast, which comes out on Monday on News 4, my summer forecast, talking about how many 90-degree days, how many hurricanes, what we can expect for hurricane season in our area. And looking at that, I think this summer is going to be very similar to what we had last summer. You know, we had 49 90-degree days last summer, and that's about average for the last 10 years. And, of course, with climate change, we continue to see that number rise. I mean, it's really incredible. We were in the 30s between 2000 and 2010 for 90-degree days, and we bumped up into the upper 40s over the last 10 years. So we continue to see us getting hotter and hotter. That being said, we're in a La Nina year, so I'm expecting this summer to not be super hot, and that's some really good news. So even though we're getting hot in May, we got hot in May last year. My analog years, kind of like last year, another analog year that I had for last year was 1996. And if you take a look at the records for Dulles Airport over the last 3 to 4 days, they were all from my analog years, 1996 and last year, 2021. And we're going to beat the record. I believe the record for today at Dulles Airport is from last year. So we got this hot last year, and it was not an overly hot summer.
Too bad that the 1996 analog for your summer didn't follow the 1996 winter.
Oh, man, that would have been great, wouldn't it?
That would have been great. That's still my all-time favorite, January of 96, in terms of snowstorms for here. That is my number one. Now, what's interesting is we had a very cool spring, like an unusually cool spring. Am I wrong or not?
Yeah, well, you are. I mean, that's the thing about that, too. I mean, we were a little bit below average, but it wasn't all that cool. You know, when we look at March and April and even into early May, a lot of people were saying that, oh, it's definitely on the cool side. And we were averaging very close to average for the entire month. And the reason for that is we had a couple of cool days. I mean, if you remember in April, I mean, there was a day where we had a high temperature of 48 degrees in D.C. and we had snow back to our west. I mean, that was an incredibly cool day, but we also had quite a few warm days. So they really did balance out, with some of those warmer days that we saw.
On your forecast Monday, so tune in to Channel 4 for Doug's summer forecast on Monday. What will it be an active hurricane season or not?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you're looking at La Nina, and typically in a La Nina year, and again, La Nina is simply the cooling of the waters in the equatorial Pacific off of South America. Those waters hold a lot of what's called teleconnections, which actually help us to predict what we're going to see weather-wise in our area. So an El Nino year, a lot of times we'll have depressed hurricane seasons because of a lot of shear down in the parts of, and shear is just a ripping apart of storms. It literally rips storms apart, where a La Nina year is very favorable for storms to develop. So you take a La Nina year, then you put it into extremely warm hurricane or Gulf of Mexico, extremely warm Atlantic Ocean. Temperatures are well above average. Sea surface temperatures are well above average. So next thing you know, you've got the potential for a lot of storms. Last year we had 21 named storms. That's a lot of named storms. I believe we had 7 hurricanes and 4 major hurricanes, including Hurricane Ida, which came up and devastated parts of Louisiana, and then brought us that EF2 tornado into Annapolis. And also brought us some devastating flooding in parts of our area. That was the same storm that also brought devastating flooding. You had a lot of people perish, unfortunately, in and around the New York area because they were stuck inside their apartments at ground level. I mean, downtown parts of New York were completely flooded. So I'm looking at this season, again, fairly similar to last season.
All right. Speaking of teleconnections, last question for you. You know, NAO, AO, the whole thing. I know you are, of all the local forecasters, the one that's looking ahead to the winter of 2022-23. What are you seeing? I know none of it really matters right now, but what's your best guess?
No, and that's what I'm saying. You know, I look at that, and you continue to look at El Nino and what El Nino is going to do. And right now, it looks like we're going to stay pretty much in a La Nina all the way through towards the beginning of Christmas and toward the beginning of November. I would really love, and I say I would love because you're like me, you want a big snowstorm, and we want storms in this area. We would really want that to go towards more neutral pattern, or even towards a small El Nino pattern that would completely change our weather patterns here for the winter. Right now, I do not have a lot of hope for a big winter, but that can always change. We'll check back in
like October at some point, and then of course review the first half of Washington's season as well. We'll talk sports next time. You know how much I appreciate when you do this. I know you're up anyway with the kids, but thanks so much. And again, tune in to Doug's summer forecast on Monday on NBC4.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kevin. I appreciate it, man. You know me, I could talk all morning about this stuff, but got to take the kids to school.
Get going. Thanks. Doug Kammer, everybody. When we come back, Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN on this whole Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher thing. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.